But we want to talk a little bit about obstacles to learning. Sometimes teachers don't teach as well as others. They're just, you know, that's just the nature of who we are. That some days we're just not on as much as other days. Sometimes students don't learn as well as either. What are some obstacles to teachers teaching well and learners learning well? Yeah, amount of sleep, distractions, food. Yep. Yeah, candy motivation. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so, you know, being, dealing with the fidgets, is it realistic to expect a class of fifth grade, 5 year olds to sit still for an hour? Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We just sit and go to sleep instead of get up and run around.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. So you need to try and have things to change the. So it's not in a rut. Yeah. 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 I think it's, there's a lot of times false expectations. We want kids to act this way, but that's not how they're wired. You know, I taught high schoolers. I didn't mind if they got up and moved around as long as they didn't disrupt the class. And yeah. 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 Well, there's an excellent reason why you didn't have like fill in the blank version. So I ran out of time. So, you know, it's going back to my math class, it was funny. The principal thought I had great classroom management. That was, you know, I was always halfway panic mode trying to, you know, because my class was always about this far, just below chaos. And he said, you know something, Fankhauser? Says, there's some teachers, when I walk by their room, and if it's noisy, I wonder what's up, and I stick my head in. But if I walk by your room and it's quiet, I wonder what's up. So I had him fooled. So there's a lot of different obstacles. Teacher, lack of preparation, using prepared material. There's nothing wrong with that if you're not. The problem comes in is if you're not preparing ahead of time. So, I mean, if you're just using it without thinking about it and making it yours. Lack of clarity. My son's former roommate in college, he's got a vocabulary that's about 9 billion words more than I even knew existed. And in his normal conversation, you know, it's just like, what? Just don't follow him. And if you don't answer questions, blow them off. You're communicating to the student your questions aren't that important. Doesn't mean you're obligated to answer it then and there, but don't ignore them. Afraid to say, I don't know. As a teacher, you know, those are three words we need to learn. That if somebody asks us a question we don't know the answer to, tell them, I don't know the answer to that. And what should you do with that? You stop it, end it there? You try to find an answer. You can either steer them to a book, steer them to another person, bring them back some material, whatever it may be. And, you know, sometimes those questions are, I'm going to dig into that because, you know, I hadn't thought of that before. Too much material, and so you're using a fire hose to try and teach, and it doesn't work well. It's depending on the setting, you either need to know how to cut and paste so you get to the end in the time that you've got, or you extend it. So, you know, the running joke is in ABF, how many times have I actually ended when we're at the end of the material for the day? Not often. It usually rolls over into, but in that setting, you got the flexibility. We'll pick this up next week. If you don't have that flexibility, you need to kind of cut and fly, cut and paste on the fly. Poor time management, it's not relevant. There may be physical issues, distractions, too hot, too cold. I taught at a high school camp just outside of Austin in Buda, Texas. In beautiful downtown Buda, Texas. And the chapel was kind of at a slant, like stadium seating in there, and had this huge, beautiful picture windows up front that overlooked a creek and is gorgeous, big live oaks. And I could always tell when there's a cardinal or something because every eye would go, it said, okay, there's something outside. You know, there's no sense of even trying to say anything until they snap back. So, you know, physical issues that can cause a distraction. For the student, lack of preparation, that's probably less important. But, I mean, if they just kind of come in like, I really don't care what's going on. I'm just going to come sit and go. Lack of desire to learn. They're not teachable. Afraid to say, I don't understand. We want to encourage that. If they've got questions, we want to encourage them to ask and for clarity, because it's the goal of teaching is not for me to get through my material. What's the goal of teaching? For the learner. You want the learner to learn and to grow. And so the learner needs to be in, you need to create an environment that it's okay to say, I don't get that. Distractions, physical issues, and doesn't apply material in life. And so, you know, either because they don't see the connection or they just choose not to try and make that connection. So there's a whole bunch of obstacles. And here's, this gets to your question, Colleen. What do you do? Because not every class is a perfect class. You know, that's one of the grand adventures in teaching a class. At high school, I had 6 classes every day. Were every class the same? No, you had some that learned quickly as a whole. You had some that, you know, didn't learn so quickly. And then the next year I had 6 hours. Were they the same as the previous 6? No. Every class is different. And so we've got all kinds of issues, with the students. So, dealing with difficult learners. What do you do if there's someone who just never participates? What can you do? Ask them specific questions, and what kind of questions do you want to ask them? Open-ended, but ask them questions that you're guaranteeing them a win. You don't want to ask them a question that's going to stump them. Why? Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to do it again. Yeah. So you want to try, if you got somebody that's not participating, some of it's personality and, you know, they just, doesn't matter what you do, they're not going to participate. That's the way they're wired. They learn that way. That's okay. But, you know, give them an opportunity and give them a winner so that, you know, they're encouraged that it's okay and maybe pull them in a little bit. Yeah. That would not count as a winning question. So, you know, you're taking band as an elective. You ever think of choir? Yeah. This one's probably, this can be real common with kids and can be common in small groups. The ones that talk too much. So, what can you do in the classroom setting if you have one student that's asking and answering everything? Single them out. What was that? Voice of God from the top? Yeah. So, Yeah. So, notice in ABF how often Charlie gets my coffee. So there's a number of things you can do here. One is that you can just, you don't want to blow them off, but you acknowledge it, but then you ask the rest of the class, hey, does anybody else have some thoughts? And so you're directing the question to everybody else in a kind way. That's one option. What are some other things?
Silence, huh?
It is. Yeah, you might have to talk to him. Yeah. You might have to talk to him but you want to do it in an encouraging way and say, look, you know, I appreciate your participation, because you are so active, it makes other people difficult for them to be active. So, you know, could you just, you know, make the choice? Yeah. Could you make the choice not to answer every question? I appreciate that you want to do that, but, you know, but you do it in an encouraging way. What happens if they still don't respond? Send them to Adrian's class. Yeah. 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 Make him go stand in the corner with her nose in the, but yeah. Yeah. And sometimes with difficult people, I had a guy in a Sunday school class I was teaching in Scottsdale who was an attorney. And I think he would thought that the classroom was his opportunity to be the prosecuting attorney. I mean, he was constantly, I was talking to a mutual friend. Name was Joel, and he goes, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad, Roger. Well, I was going to be out of town for something. I asked Joel to cover the class. I wasn't doing that to set him up, but he goes, it is that bad. Yeah. But sometimes you just have to be blunt with them and talk to them privately, and you may have to tell them, you know, we need to let other people participate. You're talking too much. I don't want you to be silent, but don't answer everything. Let other people answer. Yeah. 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 And yeah. But, you know, and with different age groups, how you handle it varies. But with, you know, you want to make sure, no matter how you do it, that you affirm the person, but you need to change the behavior. And quite honestly, sometimes with adults, you just got to be blunt. And, you know, tell them, I had the unfortunate circumstance of having to do that with a small group. There was, you know, a lady in the group that had a question for everything and every prayer request that got up, she had a, you know, explanation for it. And I finally had to take her aside and talk to her. And what she came away with it was, Roger has a problem with me. You know, but, you know, so sometimes, cold hard truth is, sometimes you're going to lose people. But you want to be gentle, you want to be kind, but you can't let somebody, because what happens if somebody dominates the class? Yeah, everybody loses, and the whole rest of the class just kind of goes, shuts down. So, yeah. Yes, Mr. Spock. Yeah.
Basically, it takes the time that the teacher could be using to explain things or to teach the others, and kind of pull off topic and to maybe throw the outline out.
Yep. And sometimes when the same person starts talking, and I won't even let them finish. I'll say, hang on, and I'm not going to tell them no. It's just, hang on a minute. Let's, you know, there's some others that want to, let them talk first, and then I'll get back to you. And I'm hoping that somebody over there really does want to. But, you know, the idea of sometimes you just have to, you can just do it nicely and just say, we'll get back. Hang on, I'm not ignoring you, but you know, some other ideas here as well. Yeah. And so, what do you do if the answer is off point? I mean, it's really doesn't even fit the question. And there's really two different. Yeah. Good observation, but so you kind of redirect it to try and get it back, or that's interesting. Have you thought about, you know, there's some way of, you know, phrasing it to try and get back on point. And it could be one of those you say, that doesn't really fit where we're at right now. Let's talk about that later, or let's talk about that next week, or something like that. And again, wanting to be encouraging as you do it, but sometimes you just have to take control. The co-teacher, you know what I mean by that? That's the person who's in the class who is trying to tell the class something about the, you know, what you're teaching, and they're, you know, effectively, you know, yeah. But, you know, the co-teacher is the person that's going to be, well, this verse means blah, 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 and he's not really following what you're talking about, not really dealing with the questions that you're wrestling with, but you know, the whole purpose of that is to make sure that everybody else knows what they know. And what can you do with that kind of person? Send them to Charlie. Throw them under the bus, that's an option. Yeah. Good. So kind of redirect the question some to, you know. Yeah. Those don't pop up real often, the co-teachers, but you'll find them occasionally. But, you know, they think they're pretty smart, and they want to make sure that you know how smart they are. That sounds harsh, but that's kind of the way it comes across. Yeah, that's exactly right. They won't. Yeah. They'd rather co-teach yours. Yeah. Yeah, I was in a seminary class one time, and the prof just turned around after a while and just looked at the guy and says, I'm teaching this class, not you. He said, these people do not pay tuition to listen to you. He was not known for having the gift of tact, Kim. Yeah. The same guy who was our pastor in Victoria before he went to the seminary. And there's one lady in the church. She's a sweet lady, but Kim said every Sunday she'd come up to him afterwards and says, that's a good sermon, but I already knew that. And so he came to the elders one night. I was an elder on the board. He says, can I just make something up some Sunday? And then when she comes up and says, I already knew that, I say, no, you didn't. I just made it up. So if I ever give a really bizarre sermon, you might look around going, who's that directed towards? Then you've got arguers. So one way to deal with them is just ignore them. What do you do if somebody starts arguing? That gets beyond talking too much but they start arguing. What do you do with them? Yeah. So big picture, you're right. You need to try and figure out what's firing that. But short term, what do? In the classroom?
Ask them if you can take that offline.
Yeah, take that offline later, or you know, just say, can we talk about? You know, I can see there's something that's bothering you here. Can we talk about that privately later? So you don't blow it off, but you delay it. You know, unfortunately, the church is a volunteer organization, and you got no control over who comes in. You don't have to fill out an application. You don't have to live within the district. You know, so you get who you get, right? And we don't have a principal. You can't send them to the principal's office. We don't have a disciplinarian, and you know, so you can't send them out to get, huh? Yeah. Send them to the pastor. Thanks. Yeah. So, you know, you gotta find ways to deal with those people. And quite often what happens is if you deal with them, one of two things are going to happen. They're either going to see and they're going to change, or they're going to get frustrated and leave. But you don't want to empower them to the point that they're functionally taking over the class. And so it's really, there's no science to it. It's art. It's trying to know who the person is, trying to find out a way that you can communicate to them without being cruel, what the problem is, what the behavior. And sometimes you can shut it down within the class, but sometimes you got to talk about it privately outside. And that's hard to do. Because if I talk to you about something, bad behavior in the classroom at church, what in the American culture, what are they going to do? Go to the next church. We discovered in Shreveport-Bossier, when we lived there, so many churches, you could visit a different church every Sunday and not get back to the first church again for 12 years. Yeah. Then you got distractors. What might a distractor be? Yeah. Guess who's got the middle schoolers? Yeah. What might a distraction look like in the classroom? What's a distractor? Talking instead of listening. Yeah. Yeah. I told Wayne not to do that anymore. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. So, with distractors, sometimes, again, it's depending on the age group, but you may have to do some in-class discipline to correct them. Is it okay to, you know, functionally, I mean, not in the harsh way, but kind of get in their face and you know, have a meet Jesus meeting? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you could have, you know, like for kids, you could have like distraction trays. Well, these are things if you can get up and do these anytime you want. You know, if that helps you, you know, deal with your energy. So part of the distraction is trying to realize, are they really a distraction of the class or are they just an inconvenience to me? And that, you know, how you handle that is different. If it's an inconvenience to me, I need to change, you know, my thinking a little bit about it. You know, we need to make sure that we allow our age group to act like their age group appropriately, but, you know, act like who they are. It's like if you go up in the youth room, how many of you have been up there? Yeah. It's the cleanest, neatest room in the church, right? Yeah, but yeah. No, they got couches, they got writing all over the walls, they got stuff, but why? What are you going to want them to do up there? Have fun. You want them to be teenagers and, you know, not feel like they got, you know, straight jackets on. We're going to youth group. We got to wear our white shirts and ties. So, you know, you got the distractions, you have to basically deal with them on an individual basis and ask the question, is this a distraction to the class or just something that's getting under my skin? And then find, it kind of gets to the other things. You may have, depending on who it is and what they're doing, there's different ways to deal with it. We're in a unique position as a small church. You know, we have groups of kids in a particular class, but we also have groups of abilities. We've got, you know, some kids with special needs and all kinds of things. And so it really makes it difficult, to be honest, for our teachers. You know, ideally, you know, you like to have, you know, more teachers in the classroom, different things you can do to help with the kids who have the special needs, whatever they may be. But, you know, so sometimes you have to, as a teacher, sometimes we have to lower our expectations of what we're going to accomplish in the class because of the makeup. And sometimes we have to find creative ways to distract the distractors. And sometimes we just have to realize, you know, that's just part of who they are. Let them do what they're going to do. So that gets to squiggler. So what's the difference between a distractor and a squiggler? Yeah, that's just that, you know. Yeah, that's a person just kind of moving, you know, wiggling and moving, and you know, while you're talking, they're counting the holes in the ceiling and then tying Merle's, you know, slip-on shoes to the chair, and you know, but. Yeah. Yeah, and that's, again, that's art, not science. I'm trying to figure out how do you allow them to squiggle, and because, you know, they got energy and they need to move and they need to wiggle, and you know, you can't expect them to sit still for an hour. Well, you can't expect it. You can't, it's not going to happen, but you can expect it. And so you got to find some, you know, what's the right balance? You know, how much squiggling can we, you know, can we allow? What are some appropriate ways that we can allow them to move off with energy. You know, that kind of gets to, we didn't get to it today. You know, you guys want to stay till 3? But, you know, we get to it today. Part of it, you know, learning, you know, within the classroom, what do you do? It's not just, like in ABF, we can discuss the text for a full hour. You're not going to do that in fourth, you know, with four-year-olds. You know, so it's finding ways to, you know, what do you do during that time so that you can still have an effective lesson in there someplace, and the kids are having fun, but they're not destroying the classroom. It's a hard, that's not an easy art. There's a reason I taught high schoolers, and that's because I did not want to teach middle schoolers or elementary. But, you know, God wires people differently. There's some people that acts up, you know, I want elementary. I don't want teenagers. And there's actually a handful of people that intentionally want to work with middle schoolers. Go figure. Yeah. Yeah. Each year I was at Evangel, I had one class of middle schoolers. I think that was, you know, intentional on the part of the principal to keep us humble. So, you know, all of these things, dealing with difficult learners, the key thing is don't ignore the issue, but try not to make it, you know, a major issue more so than necessary. It depends on the audience that you're dealing with, the people that you're dealing with, on how you might deal with it. If they're silent, try to pull them in. If they talk too much, find creative ways to pull other people in and defer their conversation. And even some of them who talk too much, even if you defer it and other people talk, other people won't sense that they're talking as much. Does that make sense? Because they're not the first ones talking with every answer. You know, they're participating and it becomes part of the ebb and flow. And so they may be talking just as much, but nobody really registers that so-and-so's, you know, talking so much. Other difficulties you can think of with? Yeah. Yeah. Well, But here's a real thing that we just dealt with. Yeah. The teenager room, perfect for teenagers, not perfect for? Yeah. Why? Yeah, so way too many distractions. So what made that group comfortable and fit them drove this group nuts. And so we did some looking, and we moved them down to that little coffee room next to, you know, Jairus's office. And what happened the next week? Yeah. And so we had a, you know, you just had that open doorway in between the classes and just had a cloth curtain, which, you know, didn't do much to keep out the distractions. Without the curtain, then you got visual and noisy. With the curtain, you still had noisy, and that's one of the reasons we put that door in, is now you can separate the two classes, and it reduces the noise and reduces, you know, but, you know, to a large degree, you're stuck with the facilities that you have, you know, and you gotta do some flexing to try and make things work out. I'm just glad that one worked out so relatively simply. So. Yeah, and so you do what you can to try and use your environment, but you're also limited sometimes by your environment. Okay, I got five till. There's a whole bunch more stuff I had. I wasn't sure if I had enough. Yeah. So, thoughts, comments, questions? You're not a teacher? You want to be? Katie, tackle her on the way out. Yep. Yeah. 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 Oh. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that would be hard. Yep. 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 So. Yep. There's some that'll learn no matter what. There's some who won't learn no matter what. You're trying to get the middle, the rest in between. So what's a classroom size, school classroom size in Texas? What's? Yeah. 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 When we were in Ghana, I went to the schools, 70. And they were 70 in a classroom. They didn't have two teachers, but they were more disciplined than a lot of our kids here because they respected. It was great. I was in one class and the kid came in late. He just put his hand out like this because he knew he was going to get a whack on the way in. Took his whack, went, sat down, and. No. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So I appreciate everybody carving out time in the morning. We will redo the notes, and we've got your names over there, so we'll get copies to you. I have no idea what happened, except it was the copier demons. And yeah. So appreciate it. Could I get somebody to? How about one of the ladies to close us in prayer? Somebody volunteer to do that? Okay, thanks, Katie.